T-55, Ford McCarthy Residence, Birchwood, Colorado. Immediately after Billy's call ended, Leisha rose to his feet from a rare seated position next to Dan. The course of action was already decided. Leisha was going to fetch Billy from Ankara without further ado, and the alien was clearly ready to get going. "See you soon," Dan said. "Do you have a telepathy patch for Billy so the two of you can talk if you need to?"
"I always have spares," the alien replied. "I don't foresee any reason why we will need to talk, since Billy is familiar enough with teleportation not to be frightened, and since he knows I'm coming, but I do have one for him."
Dan shrugged. He didn't see why a patch would be necessary either, but he thought it was worth bringing one just in case, and only asked because he could have spared his own for now if Leisha hadn't had any extra. Leisha walked to his favored teleportation spot next to the kitchen door and raised a hand to wave goodbye. A flash came before anyone could reciprocate.
"No, Lise,"
Piper said. Stunned by what they saw as the flash faded and their vision returned to normal, no one said anything.
"No, Lise,"
Piper said as the grown-ups around her looked across the room in shock.
"Mama, no, Lise."
Still, no one else spoke. For while what Piper was getting at was correct, she wasn't saying that Leisha was gone. Instead, as confused as everyone else, but in a very different way, the baby was trying to express that she was far less familiar with the other alien who now stood at Leisha's side. Even more alarming to everyone else than the sudden appearance of Sacco, however, was the presence of the other individual he had brought with him. Rather than seeing Billy Kendrick, who Leisha had been all set to collect from Ankara, the stunned group were looking at someone else who Sacco had just brought from Buenos Aires, ICA Chairman William Godfrey. Altogether befitting of the situation in which he found himself, Godfrey wore an expression of shock even greater than that on any of the faces looking at him with their own significant feelings of surprise clearly visible. For while the others had at least been expecting someone to imminently arrive in a familiar but still miraculous flash of this kind, Godfrey had, just minutes earlier, been standing at a podium and preparing to deliver one of the most important speeches of his life. Now, he was standing in Birchwood, Colorado, with two fellow members of the ICA's titled inner circle, who he had previously thought were still upstairs in the same Buenos Aires building from which he had been unceremoniously whisked away. "Cover her ears," Godfrey said to Emma, who was holding Piper, in a voice far less resonant than normal. Emma instinctively did as he asked. Godfrey gulped and looked squarely at Dan. With a shaking voice reflecting that it was born of fear rather than suspicion, he then asked an uncharacteristically blue question, which summed up exactly what the others, including the friendly alien among them, were all wondering just as hard.
"Dan, what in the royal fuck is going on here?"